Then there's the New Testament. The New Testament is the history of Jesus' life on this earth until he wasn't on this earth and his early church. So that is the basics about the Bible. But is it reliable? There's three things that we're going to talk about that I think help us to number one, and scholars help us to see the Bible is reliable. Accuracy is number one. Hey, you've all heard or played the game of telephone where one person, you stand in a line, you say a phrase, and you go all the way down, and by the end, the phrase isn't the phrase anymore, right? Okay? So there's this thing that the scholars question, and they say, okay, has the telephone game happened with the Bible? And to answer this question, you need to close your eyes, and you need to be transported back in time, like literally 2,000 years, even probably 3,000 years, where you are in a village, there are no TVs, there's no high-speed internet, there's not even any newspapers. There's no printing press because the printing press hasn't been invented for like another 1,500 years. And the only way that you know that things have happened, you can open your eyes in other places, is by storytellers. The only way you know what has happened in the past is people who literally tell stories. That's their role in the village. And so people start telling these oral stories, and then the person, the storyteller's like, wait a minute, you got that detail wrong. Nope. So another way that information was passed is scribes, where you copied. Have you ever done copy work? Imagine that's your life. That's what you do for a life. You copy manuscripts word for word. So it's not unusual that the Bible at the beginning was copied by hand, because every ancient book ever was copied. And actually, you can fact check me, the Bible has been copied by hand and eventually printed more than any other book in the Bible. Okay? We're going to get to that. Hold on a minute. But the telephone test. The telephone test is this thing that scholars talk about, and there's a time gap. So a time gap means when the first manuscript story was written down till how long it was copied. The smaller the time, the more accurate it will be. So Pliny the Younger, he's a Roman historian. He literally wrote down history. His writings, the time gap is 750 years. Caesar, people writing about Caesar, is 1,000 years. Plato's, 1,200 years. Iliad of Homer is 400 years. The Old Testament, remember we talked about the first beginning, 250 years. And the New Testament is 50 years. So the people who study this say the shorter the amount, the more accurate it is. But now the question is, how many manuscripts dug up are there about these things? Go. There should be another one that looks like this. The historian, 20. Caesar, 10. Plato, only 7. And people still read Plato in philosophy classes today. Homer, 643. The Old Testament, you guys, I could geek out on this, thousands. Have you ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? So there were these, what do you call people who roam the desert? I cannot think of this word. Nomads. They're going in the desert with their camels. This is a true story. Look it up. 1949. And they come upon this cave by the Dead Sea. And they find thousands of manuscripts of the Old Testament. Every book in the Old Testament except Esther was found. And there's 10,000 fragments of it, of the Old Testament. So there's thousands of them. The New Testament, 24,663 manuscripts of about Jesus. Alexander the Great, who's in all our history books, his writings were written in 400 years, and we don't even question his existence. Have you ever heard the statement, numbers don't lie? I don't even know how to dispute this. The numbers show that there are way more original copies of this than any other book historical book. And then people say, okay, Amanda, but you didn't talk about the telephone thing, about the heirs. And yes, few people do say they were heirs because humans are copying it. But the more important question is, what kind of changes or variances actually happened? Like I said, I could geek out on this way too long. But there's this scholar who says he's not even a Christian, and all he does is study New Testament manuscripts and books. And he says, most of these differences we have in our manuscripts are completely insignificant, unimportant, and don't matter for a thing. So what he's saying is they don't change the whole idea or the whole concept of what is trying to be spoken. The Bible isn't a game of telephone. It's backed by thousands of early copies that let us check and trust that it is true. Second thing, reliable eyewitnesses and sources. So you're going to open your book to 2 Peter Bible. 2 Peter 1:16. I lied to you. Go to Luke. I'm going to read Peter. You're going to Luke. Luke is one of the Gospels. It says, "For we do not follow cleverly invented stories." Who's Peter? Anyone? One of the disciples. He was the guy who actually got his ear cut off. Okay, Peter is writing this book. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard the voice." So the disciples are on the mountain and they hear God's voice tell Jesus. They actually heard it. They saw it. I remember I told you to go to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay. Luke. Luke is not a disciple. He is not an eyewitness, but look at what he writes. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning," I think me and Luke could have been friends because I love to investigate, "it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Luke interviewed eyewitnesses, and he wrote an orderly account of Jesus. He went to people and said, "You heard Jesus, you saw him, tell me your story." And he wrote it down because he wanted his friend Theophilus, whoever he is, to know for sure the truth of Jesus. He wanted him to be certain. And when people talk about eyewitnesses, they can go down this path saying, yeah, but does the Bible contradict itself? Do the people say one thing, but another person says another, like the Gospels? And to that I say, think of a court case. When someone is interviewed on one of those shows of hey, what did you see at this crime? One person says one thing, and another person says, I didn't see that, but I saw this. It doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It means that they have two different viewpoints. And if you look at the Gospels, each person is writing for a different reason. They have a different view. And some say that that actually increases the fact that we can trust it because all the writers weren't hey, let's all write the same thing. They're writing different variations of the same basic story, just in their own view. And then some people, this was me, who said, Amanda, you're using the Bible, I would say this to people, you're using the Bible to prove your point. This is the thing I'm not quite sure about. And to this, I had someone tell me this, that there are 9 non-Christian sources out talking about Jesus. And that there's 33 Christian sources out. That means there's 42 different sources that are historical that talk about what Jesus did, who he was, that he walked, that he died on the cross, that he rose again. And guess how many there are of Caesar? 10. So 10 versus 42, and we never question, did Caesar even exist, and did he even rule? We know that through these sources, people believed in him. They believed that they worshiped him. So if the history and the eyewitnesses back up Jesus, then the Bible is more than belief. It's a reliable piece of history. Number three, the testimonies of other believers. And this one's harder, you guys, because there's not concrete evidence that I can just speak about. Someone can speak about how they've been changed by Jesus. On a Sunday morning, we give faith stories. People speak about it. Who's going to stand up in the middle of a faith story and go, I think you're lying? No, that's their story. People all over the world talk about how Jesus and the Bible has transformed them. It's changed them from the inside. And so when I was in my 20s and I was trying to figure this whole faith thing out, I could see my friend group changing. They started this relationship with Jesus. I was like, you're different. Tell me more about it. And I couldn't dispute it. I could see it. 2 Timothy says, 3:15 through 17, I'm going to read it to you out of the message, says, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed. That means God has given the writers the words to be written, God-breathed and useful for one or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has given us. So the Bible is God's word given to humans. It's a love letter for his people. He gave us his word so that we could know that he loves us. And through the letter, we see truth. We see our sin. We see how to live differently, like my friends were. And you know what else it shows us at the end? It shows us our purpose. It says, through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. That means he has a purpose for us, and his word will show that to us. So as I gave the Bible a chance, I started to see this hope in Jesus that no other religion can guarantee. It gave me hope, it gave me joy, it gave me certainty in a better life for the future. I went on a mission trip to Indonesia, and they have this Muslim-Hindu belief, and I sat with someone, with a translator, and I said, so in your religion, do you believe in God? Yeah. I said, do you believe that you're going to heaven? Well, I'm not quite sure. So many people, I'm like, you follow, you do all the rituals, you do all the things, and you're not sure? A person who knows Jesus can be sure without a doubt that they can experience the peace and the joy, and that someday off this crazy earth, we get to go be with God forever. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we shall not perish but have eternal life. And people end there. So I want to read 17. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but to save it through him. So how do we know that God loves us? Because in the Bible and in the history of Jesus, we look at the cross. We're sinners deserving of death. And so Jesus came to this earth to die for us, be raised from the dead, so that we can live with him forever. The writer Luke wants Theophilus, his friend, to know for sure who Jesus is. And there's nothing more than I want for you, each of you in this room. Have you ever wanted something for so bad for someone else, but you can't do it for them? My family has a belief in God, and they couldn't do it for me. I had to figure it out on my own. And I want you to figure it out and be where you are and wrestle and do these things so that you can experience the power and the love that the Bible has for you. I want you to be sure that it's history, that it's reliable, that it can be trusted, that it changes people. And so for this group of people who are like, I am so certain about who the Bible is and Jesus is, go tell your friends. Tell them why you're certain. What makes you certain that that is truth? Because I can tell you that. And for the group of people over here who were like, I'm still not sure. I'm not sure about this. It's okay. Doubt is okay, and doubt will push you to learn more and to figure it out and find peace with all the questions. So there's no shame in that. Keep wrestling, keep praying, keep asking. And I pray that someday you land in a place that you are certain about who Jesus is and what that you can trust the Bible. And until then, that you keep searching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are big enough to handle our questions. You are big enough to handle our doubts. I thank you that you gave us your word, a love letter to us that continues to speak to people, not only in this space, but in the world around us. And so, Lord, I pray for each student and each leader as they go to their small group that you would help them to be open and honest about where they're at. Lord, that you would have a community of people around them to listen to them and to be with them, to support them. And Lord, that your voice would speak to them, that they would know that you are working and you are speaking and you are teaching them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.